Our final gospel of the church year comes to us from John, chapter 18, verses 33 through 37. Just hours before his death and standing before the governor Pilate, Jesus tries to instruct Pilate about true kingship and the true kingdom. Let us listen together for God's word. Then Pilate entered the headquarters again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the Jews. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." May God bless this reading and hearing. Amen.
So, beloved, we did it. We made it all the way to the end of the church year on this Sunday that we call Reign of Christ or Christ the King Sunday. This current year that we're in began way back on December 3rd, 2017, and since then we have come a long way together. On December 3rd, we began the season of preparation for the coming of the Christ child in what we call Advent. O come, Emmanuel. That led us to Christmas Eve and to the short season of Christmas, where we celebrated with great joy the incarnation, God become flesh in Jesus Christ. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Remember that one? See, on January 6th, the day of Epiphany, and in the season of Epiphany that followed up until February 13, we told the stories of how the good news of great joy of Christ's birth became known in the world as the world has an epiphany about what God is doing, right? On the 14th of February, we began a season of Lent, a preparation leading up to Easter, and we marked our foreheads on what we call Ash Wednesday. Sunday's palms are Wednesday's ashes as another Lent begins. Lent led us, right up until Palm Sunday, beginning of Holy Week, where we remembered the story of Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And you remember what hymn we sang that day? All glory, laud, and honor to the Redeemer King. We need Rad for that. Holy Week gave way to the Triduum at the end, Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and Holy Saturday, the 3 days of somber and sorrowful suffering. Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Then, after that, Easter morning came with a great sunrise celebration where we celebrated with great joy the resurrection and God's movement to love all of us forever and the saving of the world. Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. It's a nice one. So 50 days after Easter Sunday, we celebrated Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit that equips us and empowers us to be the church. And on Pentecost Sunday, we celebrate the birthday of the church. Spirit of God, descend upon my heart. And then after that, finally, we get the long season of Pentecost that we have been in now since 50 days after Easter last May. And it's this time, this long time, where we do the work of being the church, of being Christ's hands and feet in the world, learning how to respond to the life, death, and resurrection with Jesus Christ with the actions of our life. And maybe the song we could sing about that is this. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. So that brings us to today, this Reign of God Sunday, which is an opportunity for us to enter into the mystery of the already and the not yet. And what I mean by that is this, that on this day we celebrate the kingdom of God, that God's kingdom of peace and justice, which has broken into the world in such amazing and powerful ways, already. And not yet, the kingdom has not been fully established. That we look around the world and read the headlines and we know God's kingdom is not fully established. And so this is a reminder today of the work that has been done, but that more work by God and by us still is needed. Right? So in the middle of the recap of the church year, did you catch the central theme, the tying thread that ties it all together? It's not a secret answer. It's the Sunday school answer, right? It's Jesus Christ, right? That the theme, the tying thread of all of it, our reason for being here, a reason through marching through the church calendar and singing all those hymns as we do, our reason is Jesus Christ. And as we go about our lives and as we go about doing and being the church around here, like in every church, there are times when we forget the reason. We forget the central theme. We forget the tying thread, that we forget that what we're all about and what we're doing here has everything to do with the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And you've known me long enough to know that I know almost nothing about anything, except I do know this, with great clarity, that we need Jesus Christ like the desert needs the rain. So, here as we stand on this threshold of the old year and the new year, the standing in the doorway as we are, let's not forget Jesus Christ, but let's focus and refocus and center ourselves on Him. And to do that, I want us to consider this question this morning. Who is Jesus to me? Or another way of saying it is who is my Jesus? Let's pray. Loving God, help us not to miss you. Amen. So at the end of his life, the final hours of his life, Jesus found himself standing in front of the Roman governor Pontius Pilate. It was after Jesus' birth, after his public ministry where he went around calling disciples and teaching and healing. It was after a whole series of events where he alienated and enraged the political and religious authorities of his day. All of that finally caught up to him. And he was arrested by his own Jewish people. They wanted his head, to be frank. They wanted him dead, but they didn't have the authority to kill him. Only Rome had the power of capital punishment. So they went to Pontius Pilate, the governor of the region, and asked him to talk to Jesus, because they knew if Jesus talked to Pilate, Jesus would do something to incriminate himself, and then Pilate was going to have to kill him. Pilate didn't want to do it. He didn't want to get involved. He didn't want to deal with a local religious issue. Really wanted to do was for the Jews to take care of their own business and to leave him alone. But the Jewish authorities resisted and insisted and persisted. And so finally, Pilate relented. Okay, all right, bring him in and I'll have a chat with him. So Jesus goes into the palace in Jerusalem and stands before Pontius Pilate. And interestingly, in that moment, both of the men had the same agenda. Pontius Pilate wanted to know who Jesus was. And Jesus wanted Pontius Pilate to know who he was. Pilate begins the questioning. "Are you the king of the Jews?" he asked. Jesus deflects the question and says, did you come up with that question? Or did somebody else put you up to that question? Because it really feels like that's somebody else's question. Pontius Pilate says, "Look, I'm not a Jew. Your own people want to kill you. What have you done that's so bad that has made them so angry at you?" Again, Jesus deflects and says, "My kingdom is not of this world. It's of another place." Pilate's got him now, right? Jesus has trapped himself. Aha, so you are a king if you have a kingdom. And in that moment, Jesus decides not to deflect anymore, but just to lay his cards right out on the table and tell Pilate the whole truth. "You are right to say that I'm a king, O Pontius Pilate, but I'm not the kind of king you imagine. I'm not the kind of king who rules by political power or who rules by military might. I'm the kind of king who gives his life for others in love for the saving of the world." And with that bald truth laid out there on the table as it was, it served for Pilate as an invitation. Jesus says, "Look, this is who I am. This is what I'm doing. This is what I was sent here for. This is what I am all about. Those who follow the truth listen to me. So Pilate, are you listening to me? Are you going to choose God's kingdom of peace and justice? Or will you choose Caesar's kingdom?" So in this moment, Pilate is holding the $30 billion lottery ticket. He's got the winning ticket in his hand. He's got Jesus right in front of him, telling him exactly who he is and what he's about, and personally inviting him to listen to him and to follow him into the kingdom. Pilate has the winning lottery ticket in his hand, but you know, he mistook it for a gum wrap. And when Jesus tells him to listen to the truth, you know what Pilate said? Pilate dismisses Jesus and says, "What's truth?" And in so doing, Pilate trades everything for nothing. It's a good story. And there's lots of spiritual food for thought in there, and many different angles we could take. But this morning, I want to just return to that question I gave us with at the beginning that I think this story raises for us. It's an urgent question of who is my Jesus? Who is Jesus to you? You see, Pilate, when he's standing there in front of Jesus, he really wants to know. He needs to know who Jesus is. He doesn't want to know who he is cosmically or theologically. He just wants to know in that moment who Jesus is for him and his life. Is Jesus a friend? Is he a threat? Is he a king that will undermine his authority? Is he a benign nuisance, or is he something or someone else? And Pilate needs to know who Jesus is because he needs to know what he's going to do with them. If he's a friend, maybe he can partner with him. If he's a threat, he'll kill him. If he's a benign nuisance, well, then he'll do what he did, which is, I think Pilate thinks Jesus is a benign nuisance. And so what he does is he says, "Okay, I'll let the crowds decide." Pilate ends up doing nothing. He needs to know who Jesus is so that he'll know what to do with him. Now, I do, that nobody in the room wants to identify with Pontius Pilate, right? He's been the bad guy for 2,000 years. Who wants to be like Pontius Pilate? But I will admit to you right here, standing as I am, that I am more like Pontius Pilate than I'm not. That I, too, like Pontius Pilate, I really, really want to know. I need to know who Jesus is. And I don't want to know who he is. I mean, I'm interested, obviously, theologically who he is, and cosmically and biblically who Jesus is. But when it really comes down to it, what I really want to know in my heart is, who is my Jesus to me? I need to know if he's my friend, or if he's a threat, or if he's my king, or a benign nuisance, or if he is someone or something else. And I need to know who he is because I need to know whatever I am going to do with this man. So let me get real for a minute. As the guy in the robe, right, as the pastor, like many pastors, I think there's a misconception that we folks in the robes, that we got it all figured out when it comes to Jesus, that we know who he is, and we know who he is to us, and we know at any given moment exactly what we're supposed to do with them. But the truth is that for me, Jesus is a moving target. That some days he's a friend, some minutes he's a threat, sometimes he's my king, sometimes he's a benign nuisance, and sometimes he is something else to me. And because he is a moving target, many, many times, probably most times, I have absolutely no clue what I'm going to do with him. So maybe that sounds to you scandalous for me to say that on a Sunday morning. Maybe that sounds unfaithful or wishy-washy. Or maybe you identify that because you feel that same way too. But however you feel about that, whatever you feel, my insight this last 12 months of going through this church year, some clarity I've received is this. This whole following Jesus thing, it isn't about knowing who Jesus is for all times and all places and knowing exactly what to do with him all the time. But this following Jesus thing is about a willingness to listen to Jesus so that we might know him more and more. Let me say it again. That this whole following Jesus thing isn't about knowing him with great certainty for all time so we know exactly what to do. It is simply a willingness to listen with humble ears to him that we might know him more and more. And that's precisely what Pilate was unable to do. So that's me, and that's Pilate, and that's the story as I understand it for now. But the real question this morning is, how are you? Who is your Jesus? For you, is he a friend, a threat, a king, a benign nuisance, a moving target? Is he someone or something else? Has who Jesus is for you changed in the last 12 months? Or maybe in the last 12 minutes? And whoever Jesus is for you, whatever are you going to do with him? So standing as we are in this doorway between church years, let's not race by those questions, friends. Let's just take a minute to be together in silence and just ask ourselves that question. Who is my Jesus?